This is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me? Oh. What are you doing?
I'm doing the...
What's the wiggle?
I'm behind the synth.
You look like you're rubbing yourself on the chair.
No, that looks like this.
Oh, yeah.
Happy new podcast, guys. This week, this happened.
All right, Ian, I like you.
This happened.
I like Ian Lee's programme.
But this did not happen.
Don't you just love the Ian Lee show first thing in the morning?
Oh, how embarrassing. I played all of those things by mistake.
Silly sausage.
Across beds, hearts and bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
So anyway, there's this guy, right? And in 1969, he recorded... What?
Not this again, we know.
Sugar Man, he recorded something, didn't make any money. He didn't realise he was famous in South Africa, then he did.
All week, you've been dissing me. Dissing, I've discovered, means disrespecting me. Have a listen to this. Have either of you seen the Searching for Sugar Man film?
No.
Oh, man! It's a documentary...
Oh, not another one of those.
No, it's a good one. There's nobody with mental illness in there at all. It's really good. It's about this... have you seen it, Kelly Betts?
Sorry, what?
Searching for Sugar Man.
No.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's such a good film. I was in tears. It's about this guy that recorded two albums in 1969 in America. Yeah. He sold no copies of it whatsoever. About six copies, OK? But for some bizarre reason...
Bless you.
Thanks.
But for some bizarre reason, he became huge in South Africa.
Oh.
Okay, and he sold like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of records in South Africa, but he never knew about it. Then in the mid-90s, this music journalist in South Africa is trying to find out... This guy's called Rodriguez. Trying to find out what happened to Rodriguez, how he died, what happened to him, his life and stuff like this.
Is he still telling this?
Carry on.
Quite long.
What?
So they never found him?
No! They found him!
Oh, good. You've got to watch it now.
But they're... So he's... Just go back. Pretend I haven't told you that bit.
He's become a woman. What's happened?
So this journalist is on the phone to a guy that worked with him, and he's going, before I go, just let me know, how did Rodriguez die?
He's still alive.
You got it.
And he was on the phone to him.
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
But then he met up with Rodriguez, took him over to South Africa, where he plays to, like, 6,000 people.
Oh. Oh, I bet that was moving.
It's Dennis in Dunstable.
Hello, Ian.
You survived Christmas and the New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I hope all your troubles were little ones at Christmas.
Yeah, there were a few bits and pieces. They were mainly children being very, very naughty.
Little ones.
Yes, yes.
Anyway.
Dennis, have you seen the film Searching for Sugar Man?
I have not.
Okay,
Justin?
No, sell it to me.
Right, okay, what happens is, right, there's this there's this singer called Rodriguez, okay?
Right.
He recorded two albums in sort of 1969. They didn't sell any copies at all. But it turns out, bizarrely, he's really big in South Africa. He sold hundreds and thousands of records, okay?
Right.
You with me, Dennis?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, so... Fast forward to the early 90s, there is a journalist in South Africa trying to find out how Rodriguez died. Okay? He's on the phone to his record producer, he's talking to him about the record, and at the end he goes, by the way, how did Rodriguez die? Rodriguez? He's not dead. I was talking to him last week. Boom, he's alive. We've got a story, we're in, it's a movie. I'm loving it, okay?
Yeah.
Then what happens? You with me, Dennis?
Yes, I'm with you. Bad bus pass.
Yeah, okay. Now, forget, we've moved on from the bus passes, Dennis.
No, I know, but I'm travelling by with you now.
Okay, I thought you'd be in a cab.
No. Too early for cabs.
Okay, I've got a feeling you're going to slow this conversation.
Carry on, please.
Thank you.
It didn't get any slower.
No, Catherine, please, you have had your chance. So, what happens is, Justin and Dennis, is he the... Oh, I'm confused. Let me start again.
I don't understand why it took a whole film to find him when the guy saw him the week before. Surely it's just phone call swap. Bang.
Well, okay. So
end of film.
We're there. So then what happens?
He wasn't really doing that much research if he thought that he was dead.
The internet didn't exist then?
Good point. Yep.
Is it black and white?
No. Right. Dennis.
I've just died.
Dennis, again, Dennis, just recap what I've told you so far so I know you're following me.
Yes. They're looking for somebody in South Africa.
No, he's not... He's not in South Africa, Dennis. He's American.
Oh, God almighty, I've been down there with bus pass. I've got to come back again now.
Right, so, Justin.
Yes.
So then what happens is they then get Rodriguez to agree to play to a series of concerts in South Africa.
Right.
Right. And he comes over and he plays to... hang on a second, stay there. Alice?
Yes?
Right, just, are you with me now?
I am.
Well, she's Travel Alice, by the way. OK, so do you need me to recap or have you got it so far?
No, come on.
You're doing well.
We get you.
Who's snoring?
You're doing very well.
Is that you snoring, Dennis?
No, it is not.
Alice, are you snoring?
It's not me.
Do a snore, Alice. Sounded like you.
It was her.
It was her, wasn't it? How rude.
Cheeky.
How rude. Wouldn't have got that from that fellow we used to have. What was his name?
Adam Glynn.
Oh, yes. Now, so, what... I've got to start again.
No!
Why?
Why did he want to look for him if he only had two albums out that no one cared about?
No, but
they loved him in South Africa.
They loved him.
Let's talk about Shack Attack. Every single year they release an album in Japan. They're big in Japan. Can't we talk about them?
I don't want to talk about Shack Attack.
But they were great. Nightbirds was a fantastic tune.
I'm talking about Rodriguez.
1982, top 10.
The thing is, this is what I've missed.
I know a Rodriguez.
In South Africa, he's bigger than Elvis.
Right.
Boom, you're hooked.
Okay,
it's a movie.
Said that first.
It's a movie.
Why did the journalists think he had died?
Because he disappeared.
Right, OK.
His records were that big.
Right.
So, right. Oh, I haven't got time to do it now. Right, Dennis?
Yes?
Can I speak to you in a little bit?
Yes.
Justin, can I come back to you in a little bit and we'll do this properly?
Yes, no problem.
Alice, you were very, very naughty for snoring there.
It definitely wasn't me.
Do a snore again. It sounded like you. It really did. Chris is in Farley Hill. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ian. Is it Ian?
Is it Chris?
It is.
It's Ian, then.
Well, I'm planning to move to Bedford fairly soon because my daughter lives in Wootton.
Because of the bus shelter?
Well, no, I was in Bedford Hospital and the bus station there seemed quite adequate when I was there.
It stinks of wee-wee, though, doesn't it?
The cafe there is not bad.
Ever weed in a car park?
Pardon? No, me? Me?
You?
No, not there.
No, not necessarily there, but anywhere. Ever weed in any car parks?
Well, I did when I was drinking. I don't. That's six years since I drank. I have done that in silly places.
Yes, well, there's a phone in that we won't do.
No, but the police chase these guys after nightclubs because that's what they do, you see.
I would have thought so. Catherine's here.
Hello.
Hello.
Have you seen the film Searching for Sugar Man?
Who, me? No, I don't think I have.
I feel like I have.
I don't think I am. I tell you what, when Tracy Oldham was in one of my movies, we couldn't get one for love nor money. Thunderbirds, the movie, was on at Christmas, wasn't it?
I missed Thunderbirds, the movie.
Yeah, but it was Tracy Island was
Tracy Island. I thought you said Tracy Emin.
It was you couldn't get it.
When Tracy Island was popular as a toy, you couldn't buy it for love nor money.
No,
and Blue Peter taught you how to make one.
No, I think we got ours somewhere.
Well,
MK might have been. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Beatty's probably. Beatty's was good, wasn't it?
I don't know if Toys R Us are going then. I don't know.
Anyway. So, yes. So, what can I do for you, Chris?
Well, I was just saying about bus, but see, I can quote a mail, so I get low rate DLA. DLA is not means tested DLA, isn't? It's hard to get.
Yes.
I was on middle rate, they put me down to £19 a week. I was on £200 a month. I've applied for middle rate. Oh. I'd be quite prepared to pay some towards the fare, I would.
Yes.
So I'll go to St Albans and back. That's a big fare.
Should we not just make it simple, Chris? We get rid of the free bus passes for old people.
Well.
Yes or no answer, Chris?
Well,
Chris.
Let me just say one thing.
Is it yes or no?
I go to St Albans.
Yes or no answer, Chris?
Well, you'd have a lot of opposition to that one, wouldn't you?
Yes, so are you saying yes?
No, it should be means tested.
Or no?
No.
There we go, Chris in Farley Hill. Thank you very much. Ah, look! We've got a text, ladies. All morning, I've been trying to tell you about this wonderful film I've seen called Sugar Man. Search for Sugar Man, OK? About this singer, Rodriguez, OK? And in 1969, he recorded two albums.
They did sell. This will be the third time that you've talked. Shall we tell you?
No.
They didn't sell, apart from South Africa, where they were really popular.
And then
he disappeared.
He was researching, looking into him. He rang this guy.
And he said, I know him. He's not
when
dead.
Did he die?
Yeah, he's not dead.
Yeah, he's not. And then,
I saw him last week.
He was as big as Elvis.
I found it funny that the guy just didn't give him the phone number and then end of film.
It went because you've not let me get to the end of the film. That's why there's loads more happen. Because you keep going, you won't let me get to the end of the film and tell you what happens.
Is it based on a true story?
It's a documentary. They are true stories. You'd know it better. It's reality TV. Iniat Khan has texted him.
Hello.
Hi.
emailed him. Hi, Ian. I'm from South Africa. I won't do the accent. I remember listening to the title track of Rodriguez's album, which my older brother Oscar had a vinyl copy of on record. I haven't seen the film, but we'll make a point of doing so this week. Do. He'll enjoy it. Any chance you'll be playing the track Sugar Man before the end of today's show? There is zero chance. I'll tell you why. I will play...
Is it really rude?
Well, it's not really rude, but it's all about drugs.
Oh. Yeah. Is that the sugar in question?
Yes, it is. Well, the Sugar Man is his drug dealer.
Oh.
With your Coke and Sweet Mary Jane. He keeps going about Coke and Sweet Mary Jane. So we won't be playing
that. That's what the Candyman's about, isn't it?
No, that's actually about candy.
Oh, is it?
Have you not seen the film? I'm going to play a Rodriguez track tomorrow. There are a couple that are wonderful that aren't about that aren't overtly about drugs.
Can I ring in sick?
No. What is your problem? Oh, because they're not an unsigned little band that play in a toilet in Bedford, so therefore I'm not interested in them.
That's a good idea.
Oh, for goodness sake. I will get to the end of the film by the end of the show. I will tell you what happens. Dave's in Bedford. Morning, Dave.
Morning, Ian.
Have you seen Searching for Sugar Man?
No, mate, not yet.
You're going to watch it, though, aren't you?
Well, when I get around to watching the film, yeah, on my colour telly with DVD with it plugged into it, yeah.
Oh, why have you called in, David?
Well, you mentioned about black and white televisions. What was it you said about the statistics of people that have still got black and white?
There are just under 12,000 households that rely on black and white televisions.
Well, I take you're a man of the world, Ian, yeah, and all the rest of it.
I've seen things, David, that would make grown men cry.
But the thing is, though, all these 12,000 homes, don't they know that recently the analogue signal went? So what's the point of having a black and white television nowadays of any sort if you can't even receive a signal? The analogue signal went last year. I think it was the year before.
But you could still plug it into the aerial.
No, because you get no signal.
No, but the digital TV comes through the aerial, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you're talking about black and white televisions that are not digital enough.
No, but they've still got the socket at the back, so you can plug the aerial in.
Yeah, but there's no analogue signal there, Ian. The actual analogue signal that transmits the stations has gone.
Yeah, but so, you plug the aerial that's on your roof, we'll get Freeview, and that will work.
Oh,
on...
yeah, if you've got Freeview, yeah, but I mean, you're saying there's people that, why would they want to plug a free... Why don't they just spend a little bit more money and get a coloured television,
Dave, I don't know.
It's black and white.
Why are you... I don't know. Why are you challenging me about this?
I'm just reporting the
facts.
That's just terrible. I mean, I've chucked all my black and white tellies out. I mean, I did have one just to take out with me just to watch whilst I'm out.
What do you mean watch while you're out? Where would you be at?
Well, I go out places, don't I?
Well, where would you go out and watch a black and white TV?
Well, I don't know. In the car, in the restaurant.
You'd go out to a restaurant and you'd watch a black and white television in a restaurant?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I'll just take it with me. It's only a little black and white.
Hang on a minute. Where do you plug it in?
No, I'm winding you up, Ian.
Oh, OK, right, OK. Flipping heck.
I'm known for my wind-ups, but well, anyway, I've just recently moved to Bedford. I'm checking through the radio stations. How long have you been about?
Hang on, have you only just discovered 3CR today?
Yeah.
There we go, you see. Now, what do you normally listen to?
I'm not allowed to plug in a station.
Yeah, you're not plugging in, we're going to do them down in a minute. What other things have you listened to? Heart. Oh, for goodness sakes. That's still going, is it? Don't worry about Heart. Stick with us on 3CR between 6 and 9 every weekday.
Because I used to listen to chat shows a lot.
Yeah.
Back in the day with people like Caesar the Geezer.
Caesar the Geezer, flipping heck, yeah.
He's on the internet now.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know about it.
I know all about Caesar. David, listen, honestly, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, partly because I don't have one, but if I did, this show is a corker.
So it's on every morning, yeah?
Every morning between 6 and 9. You can also go to the internet and download podcasts of it.
All right, so it's just the chat sheet. Talk about almost anything, yeah?
We talk about almost anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Dave, do me a favour.
Nothing too serious. I like light-hearted chat shows.
We do a little bit of both. Listen, now, do me a favour. Today's Monday. Could you give me a call back on Friday and let me know whether you're going to keep listening or whether you're going to go back to Heart?
I will do.
David, seriously, I want to speak to you on Friday and I want to know whether you're staying or whether you're going.
All right, I'll take a listen, mate. Well... Because I want to say a big shout-out to the Kingfisher Group in Bedford.
We don't allow shout-outs. But, Dave, I'll speak to you on Friday, and we'll find... That's exciting. He's a new listener. The pressure's on. The heat is on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do This week has got to be good to keep Dave in Bedford hooked.
Good morning again.
Ah, now, Dennis, does your Win enjoy doing the housework?
Well, it's very funny because the other day she came down, she looked tired. I said, what have you been doing down? She says, I've been ironing three men's shirts. I said, well, tell them to come and iron their own blasted shirts. Ironing three men's shirts. You've got to get back to front, of course.
You meant, instead of her taking three gentlemen as lovers, she was ironing three of your shirts.
That's right.
There we go. Now, listen, I'm glad you're back on. Justin, you're still there, aren't you?
Yes, I'm still here, yes.
So, this film, Searching for Sugar Man, right?
Yes.
Now, let me recap. For those who haven't seen it, it's a brilliant documentary. I saw it over Christmas. It's been out for a couple of years. Dennis, do you remember how the story started?
More or less, yes. I've been taking memory tablets.
Give us a recap, when you remember to take them. Give us a recap for those people who've just tuned in.
Well, apparently, somebody's been looking for this fella. He sold a lot of records in Africa, apparently. Nobody
South
seems to have heard of him. And then he's just disappeared, and so an African reporter's trying to find out what happened to him. And that's as far as that went.
And what's his name?
I don't know. I went to sleep about that time.
OK. Just, have you been paying attention?
Yeah, I've got somebody else with me, but carry on. Yeah, go on.
Who have you got with you?
What's your name, madam?
Yvonne.
Ask Yvonne if she's seen Searching for Sugar Man.
Have you seen the film Searching for Sugar Man?
No.
You need to.
Put the headphones on so she can hear me. Right, Yvonne.
To win.
Yvonne, morning. This is Ian Lee. You're on BBC Three Counties Radio. Have you not seen Searching for Sugar Man?
No, I haven't.
It's about... OK, I'll explain.
Oh, God. Really?
It's about this singer-songwriter called Rodriguez, OK? And he recorded two albums in 1969 that didn't sell very well.
Except in South Africa.
Except that's Catherine, you can hear.
Where he was the South African's Elvis.
He was South African's...
Except he never went. No one knew who he was, by the looks of it.
OK. But, Yvonne, people thought he was dead, OK? What are you giggling for, Dennis?
You're flogging a dead horse here.
I'm not flogging you. Yvonne, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am.
OK, good, thank you. So, what... Right! So, he didn't record many, but he was bigger than Elvis in South Africa. So, this journalist was trying to find out how he died, OK? Alice, are you still there?
I am here.
This is Alice Glossop, the travel lady. Say hello to Yvonne, Alice.
Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Right, OK. Now, Alice, pay attention. So, right, let me just recap. So, Rodriguez recorded two albums in 1969. They didn't sell very well.
Oh, we've done this bit. Do the next bit.
No, but I keep forgetting where I am.
So he tries to find him. He rings up his old producer.
Yes.
And he says, so how did Rodriguez die? The producer says, oh, but he's not dead.
Yes.
Ta-ta.
Ta-da.
So they last week.
So they find, Yvonne, they find Rodriguez, OK?
OK. And he plays a concert and he's really emotional.
Oh!
The end.
It then goes to... I've lost my place. There's a singer called Rodriguez. He records two albums in 1969. They don't sell very well. They sell very well in South Africa, except he doesn't know that. I've missed that bit. He doesn't know they've sold well in South Africa.
Who, Rodriguez? Doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
Oh, we didn't know that bit. That's the interesting bit.
How doesn't he know?
Yvonne, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am.
OK,
did he not make any money then?
Sorry, Yvonne.
Did you not think, what's this check?
He didn't get the checks.
Oh.
Yvonne, I'm really sorry. Can I... We've run out of time, Yvonne. Can I speak to you tomorrow?
We'll try. I'm working.
Sounds
like hang on. We can come back to it in a minute.
Sounds like a brush off. Yvonne, you've been a good sport. Dennis?
Yes?
I'll speak to you in an hour.
An hour?
What?
I've only just got out of bed, for God's sake.
I need to tell you what happens in the film.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll be waiting with bated breath.
And Alice, well done for not snoring that time. We'll introduce everything by saying, have a listen to this.
Why?
Because it's just a nice way of getting into it.
It's an instruction as well. It's good. It's clear.
And after all that, I still don't think I got to explain the whole film. Never mind. Have a listen to this. An email from Stan. The subject is wrong, 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 wrong. Four wrongs, all in capitals. He's furious. Ian, you really are barking up the wrong tree. In 2014, TV is not a luxury. What really shocked me was when I went to a recent forum run by the Financial Ombudsman Service. Why'd you go there? They actually agreed that a large family could class Sky TV as a necessity, as it was the only way to entertain the family. Basic TV is definitely a necessity. Best regards, Stan. Let me just read that again. The Financial Ombudsman Service, those guys are great fun, agreed a large family could class Sky TV as a necessity. What? as it was the only way to entertain the family.
Give those people a book token.
That's insane. That is a real... I'm speechless and I'm furious. Sky TV is most definitely a luxury. Basic package is £21 a month, OK? I know I've got it. I refuse to pay for any more. It's the only way to entertain a family. Those people shouldn't have kids. Get some books. We've been playing Snap all Christmas. We've been playing Snap. Get Connect Four. Go and play charades. Go out for a walk in the woods. Go into the local shops and go window shopping. There's so many more things you can
how
do.
How about you talk to each other?
Conversations!
It's quite entertaining.
What did you do today? What would you like to do tomorrow? What do you want to do in 10 years' time?
Should we go out? How about that?
Stan, you've got me angry. Sky TV was a necessity as it was the only way to entertain a family.
I found a new way to entertain a family this week.
Oh, God.
Face snap.
Oh, OK.
You played that?
No, what's that?
OK, so you've got three basic face snap positions.
Yeah.
Happy face.
Oh.
Sad face.
Yeah.
Funny face.
Rock, scissors and paper for the face.
It's that, yeah. So you do your hand.
Okay,
your hand.
Okay. So what? Give me the three faces.
Happy face, sad face, funny face.
Okay. And who wins?
You both win. The person who shouts snap.
Okay. Like, happy face.
Sad face, funny face.
Okay. Well, so we cover your face.
So one, two, three. No, you snap. Sad I'm face. Doing sad face.
Okay, have you got to say snap first, have you, and then you win?
Yes. Okay. Like you would with snap.
All right.
Cards. One, two, three. Oh, funny face.
Oh, I was doing a smile. I thought I was doing a funny face.
No, you're just doing a smile. One, two, three. Oh, sad face. This could go on a bit.
Okay,
but it takes ages. It's great.
Yeah,
you can play it in the back of a car. You can play it anywhere. Face snap.
We can't do it in the back of a car if you're driving.
Well, you wouldn't be in the back of the car, would you?
Well, it depends on...
I know you've got long legs.
Can you believe that your face snap game made it onto the podcast?
Of course I can, it's a classic.
Load of nonsense. You want us to play a game now, Kelly?
Yes, I want us to play Sound Snap or Radio Snap.
Which one?
They're both the same, but I was
okay, how does it work?
Pondering over. So, we'll have three sounds.
Yeah.
Moo.
Yeah.
Rah.
Yeah.
And ouch.
Okay.
It's really only a two-player game. I'm going to stand back and arbitrate.
You can be the ref.
Yeah.
So, we need to try and get the same sound, and if we do, it's the first person to shout snap.
Okay.
Now, I know when you're playing face snap, you cover your face. Let's cover our mouth, and then suddenly, just quickly... shout the thing.
Okay.
Well, this could be very random. Can I just set some boundaries?
Yeah.
Happy noise, sad noise, funny noise.
No, she's done the three noises.
Oh, where were you?
Sorry.
Look,
I knew I wasn't talking, so I stopped listening.
Right.
Moo, rah, and ouch.
Okay, let's do it, because this is already dull.
Okay, so...
3, 2, 1, go.
Wait, who says 3, 2, 1?
The her.
3, 2, 1.
Rah!
Oh.
No face snap.
Sound snap.
Sound snap. Who invited? I told her to
know.
Go.
3, 2, 1.
Ow.
No! Oh.
No radio snaps. Is that it? 3, 2, 1.
Ow,
ouch! Snap! Oh!
Ely wins.
Yeah,
oh, well done, mate. That was fun.
No worries.
Have a listen to this.
You couldn't complain about a rehabilitation centre being built near you, could you? Mark's near Northampton. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, Ian, the bit I've had an issue with,
yes.
I don't know the area too much. I would have an issue with where they're placing it, but the issue I have is a lot of this stuff is self-inflicted, and I begrudge my tax money being spent on rehabilitating people who put themselves in that position. Same as drunks, you all have the choice whether you take it or you don't. And I begrudge my tax money, a lot of it being spent on these people. And when they go to court for things, it's used as an excuse. Oh, they were on this, they were on that. No, you put yourself on that, you put yourself into that. Take responsibility for yourself. And I just think the money shouldn't be spent there when it could be used on other things. You know, that's a bit. Now, when you go to, just going to the driving.
No, hang on a second, Mark. Let's just focus on that for a second. Because you're obviously unaware that the World Health Organization recognized alcoholism and drug addiction as a disease in the same way that asthma is a disease and cancer is a disease. It's not self-inflicted, it's a disease of addiction. Now, you wouldn't object if a cancer centre was built near you, would you?
Look, cancer depends on what cancer you're talking about. If you're talking about smoking cancer, again, that's self-inflicted.
So you wouldn't. If so hang on a minute. I want to clarify what you're saying. You would object if a cancer centre was built near you that focused primarily on lung cancer. You would object to that.
Is that is that cancer from smoking or the other cancer?
You would object to a cancer centre.
Is it smoking cancer? Because they pay money in their smoke, when that's a cigarette, that goes to the health system. And all the others don't, pretty much. You know, drugs, they don't.
I'm confused.
Nothing.
Would you object to a cancer centre or not, Mark?
If it's a self-inflicted one, yes. If it's a natural cancer, no.
Mark,
no, don't shame on me.
Shame on you.
No, no, what?
Shame on... You would object to people with cancer getting treatment? You object to people with a drug addiction getting treatment?
If it's smoking cancer...
No, fair play. You're right. Actually, you make a good point. Right, if they've got smoking cancer, let them just die.
Can I just go to a driving issue before
No, you can't, Mark. No, you can't. 08459-455-555. Yeah, he's right. He's got a good point. If they got smoking cancer, we should just let them ones die, shouldn't we? Yeah, oh, so you got smoking cancer. We got pancreatic cancer. No, in you come, love. Yeah, smoking cancer. I'm sorry, no. No. Sam's in Luton on the subject of drug rehabilitation. Morning, Sam.
Good morning. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Sam. What would you like to say?
Well, I was listening to that last guy speaking there. I don't recall his name. Not that it's very relevant the way he was speaking.
Larry.
I mean, it's a self-inflicted thing, drugs and alcohol. Totally self-inflicted. I mean, there's so much information available over the last...
Sam? Sam? We've lost Sam. Can we get Sam back, please? We've lost Sam. I was interested to see where that was going. Well, while we get Sam back, let's speak to Gary in Luton. Morning, Gary.
Hi.
Gary, what would you like to say?
Well, the bloke that was just on, Sam, I think he's wrong, completely wrong. I don't think that people choose to be an addict. You never set out... You never pick up a drink thinking, oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy my life and everyone around me with it. All drugs, for that matter. People take drugs for varying reasons. You know, it could be, from school-age kids just wanting to experiment. But no, I believe that sort of there's sort of around about 10% of us that haven't got an off switch when it comes to taking substances, and we could be taking them for any different reasons. I took mine to change the way I felt about myself and about life in general. You know, I suffered with addiction for many, many years, which led me to being in and out of jail from the age of 14 until my mid-30s. But I'm now clean and sober for over 7 years.
Okay, how have you got clean and sober? Have you got clean? Well, congratulations for that.
Through Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, and why couldn't you just stop?
It was just. No matter how much I tried, and I tried over the period of my drinking, I tried to just abstain and stop, but yet there was no control. As soon as I picked up another drink, I was back on it again. I've never been able to drink sort of like, you know, two or three drinks and then go home. I would always drink, and most alcoholics drink, and most drug addicts. You know, you don't drink just to get drunk. You drink to annihilation. You get high to annihilation. Nobody goes out and just goes... I just want to get level. I don't believe in methadone or parking people on Subutex and stuff like that either. I believe
those are drug substitutes, aren't they? They're still drugs, yeah. But they're kind of legal substitutes.
Yeah. I don't believe that they're right either. I think that they're good in the short term as a short-term remedy to getting abstinent, but I think that abstinence is the only way to...
Okay, so how did... If you couldn't stop on your own, if you couldn't say, do you know what, I'm not doing this anymore, how did AA... help you stop?
It's a spiritual thing. A lot of people are put off of AA because of what they call the God aspect, but I don't look at God as a geezer in a white beard, you know, looking down on me, threatening me. I look at it as a power greater than myself, and by doing my program, by being a better person, and I am a much better person. I think that all of my family and friends would vouch for that. I'm now studying a degree at Bedfordshire University in psychology and criminal
behaviour. Gary, stay there for a second, because Sam in Luton is back. Sam, I don't know if you heard what Gary was saying there. He was an alcoholic. He couldn't stop. It wasn't self-inflicted. It was biological. What would you say to him, Sam?
Rubbish. Unadulterated rubbish. He knew, obviously, after the first drink,
you already had a weakness for it and also had very little resistance to it, so he should have hit it in the head immediately. You know, I can cope with this, I can cope with this. They all say this. They'll make every excuse in the world. They'll blame everyone for their weaknesses.
Gary, it's a weakness.
It is, you know, addiction is a massive weakness. It's a massive weakness to the spirit and to your personality. But you can't control it. If you're an addict, you're an addict. What I'm saying is, like, you know, having a theory that sort of, like, you know, you should just stop it just is not very helpful. You know, I think that, you know, we need to be looking at different ways, you know, than sort of like just saying you need to stop it. You need it. Like, people need a 12-step recovery program. I believe that people should find help. You know, if you think you've got a problem, you need to find help. I'm not saying that, but these treatment centres, I'm not saying this treatment centre in particular is in a great place. I'm not saying, like, you know, that obviously geography needs to be looked at when you're doing that. Putting a bunch of, I could understand if I was living on a street and they were thinking, or I had children going to a school where they were going to open a treatment centre, I wouldn't be too pleased. But these treatment centres do need to be opened, and there needs to be more of them as well. They're like, Luton is a massive treatment town. I'm fairly new to the fellowship in Luton, but I've met some remarkable people, and I find myself, I find my own story remarkable. I was in jail at 14 for the first time, and then I was in a cycle of offending and addiction for the best part of sort of 25 years. Since I've been clean, I now work voluntarily with a social inclusion charity, which I've been doing for the last 2 years. I'm doing a degree in psychology and criminal behaviour, and my total personality has changed. I've never committed an offence again. I will never commit an offence again.
Sam,
but
doesn't...
The only reason that I'm like that is because I've got a programme of recovery that I live my life...
Sam, doesn't Gary's story sound inspiring?
That doesn't inspire me in the least.
Doesn't sound inspiring. The lad has been in prison from the age of 14, on and off. His life was a mess. He was killing himself. He's been clean and sober for 4 years. He's studying psychology. He's a productive, responsible member of society again. Doesn't inspire
you? I don't relate very well to psychology. What I think it is, someone takes up psychology when they've failed at everything else. That's what psychology is.
Although I was a failure in that way, I'm a good carpenter and joiner as well. You know, I've chosen this path because luckily for myself, through doing my voluntary job, I found that I needed to get to myself some new qualifications so that I could become a support worker and help other people, like, recover from addiction problems.
Sam, what do you think should
support them?
Sam, what do you think should happen to alcoholics and drug users?
Well, drug users especially. Alcoholics are not quite as bad. I think drug users,
absolutely,
there's so much information.
They
should be taken out and publicly executed, you know. I mean, there's so much.
You are funny.
There's so much information around today.
Hang on a second. Sam, let me just say this right. You're suggesting that drug users, drug addicts, should be taken out and publicly executed.
Well, that would be, yes, that would be the proper thing to do with them. I mean, they'll use every excuse in the world. I mean, you take an alcoholic, for instance, when he's sober, oh, no, I'm okay now, I'll be able to handle this. 2 hours later, he's pissed out of his head down the street, you know.
Okay.
He'll blame everybody for his an alcoholic, drug addicts are the same. They'll always find somebody
to blame. Let's kill them, is your idea.
Well, I mean, I think they've got to be put in secure places at least, you know, removed from society because they're a blight on society.
Okay, Sam, very, very quickly. There was category C there, so I apologise for that slipping out. Gary, you got 20 seconds. Your reaction to Sam?
Sorry, that man is mad. That man is an imbecile. We need to be looking at helping people. The prison system doesn't work. At no point in the whole time that I was in and out of prison did anybody offer me any form of recovery. I had to find recovery myself. Luckily for me, I didn't need a treatment centre. I was but I was in a homeless hostel when I found the rooms of AA.
Gary, listen, we've got to move on. Congratulations on your sobriety. You keep it in the day and keep on keeping on. Well done.
Yeah, all right, cheers, mate.
Thank you very much, Gary. And again, apologies. Category C may have slipped out there. You may not have heard it. It was so rushed, but we apologise. Never our intention to offend with the language on this show. Pam's in Leighton Buzzard. Morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Pam, what's your story?
I'm phoning regarding the drugs and alcoholism, the problems that, you know, it causes.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, yeah, you don't take them out and shoot them at dawn, the dealers and the sellers and what have you. But the people that need the help, although we want to empathise and help, I have a situation in my family where I have a relatively mature 30-odd-year-old who is alcoholic, and although she hasn't drunk for months now because we don't make it available or money available, at the slightest opportunity, she will do it again. Also, she has mental health problems due to smoking too much of the weed and all this sort of thing. The trouble is, although I've had counsellors in for myself and my husband, in for her, I've tried every route possible, nobody will insist on her getting some help because she's over 18, she's an adult, she's free to make her own choices, and she's not making logical choices, obviously, because she's living a reclusive life.
Is she living with you, Pam?
She is, yes.
And how is it affecting you and your husband?
Well, because our marriage is relatively new, it's been under some strain and quite in quite a dangerous, precarious position over the time, this last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because of all this. And I've tried everything, believe me. I've had counsellors in for us to be able to cope with it. I've had them in for her. I've been to doctors. I've been everywhere.
Pam, why is this person in living in your house? What, do they have a legal right to the house or anything?
They do have a legal right to the house. It's my husband's daughter. She has a share in the house, of which she hasn't paid for the last 4 or 5 years. So we're covering all costs for her.
Can I put forward a suggestion?
You could. You can.
Okay. Tell her she has to go. Tell her that she has to go. She hasn't been contributing financially. Tell her, and be very honest and be very open and be very loving, but say, point out to her the situation, the effect it's having on your relationship with your husband, that it's tearing you apart, and that while you love her and while you wish the best for her and while you'll be there for her, she has to leave the house and get on with her own life. She has to discover, Pam, I would suggest, where she's going wrong. And by being in the house and being looked after and being paid for, she won't discover that. She'll just keep believing that she can get away with her behaviour.
Oh, this is absolutely my stance on the whole situation. Her father isn't feeling the same way. The feelings I have for her, obviously she's not my child, but I care. It's his child, and there is a different feeling.
Of course there is.
And I can't put my foot down and say, right, she's got to go.
Has anyone suggested any groups that you could go to?
Oh, I've tried groups, but she needs to get involved and she will not entertain the idea.
Listen, you need to stop worrying about her, because it's not... She will sort herself out when she needs to sort herself out, if she chooses to. She may not, and she may kill herself. And that's her journey, OK? But you need to work on what you can work on. Have you heard of an organisation called Al-Anon?
Yes.
Have you been in touch with Al-Anon?
Vaguely in the past.
Okay. For those who don't know, Al-Anon is like Alcoholics Anonymous, except it's for family members of people who are alcoholics. And Al-Anon provides support for people in your situation, Pam. Mm-hmm. And it will be full of people who have been through what you're going through and have come out the other side successfully, and people who are in the mess that you're in. Can I make a suggestion? And this is a suggestion. If you don't want to follow it, you don't want to follow it. I've just Googled Al-Anon. It's on the internet. It's really easy to find.
Right.
There'll be a phone number. Uh-huh. And have you got the internet?
Yes, yes.
Beautiful. Look up Al-Anon.
Yes.
And give them a phone call.
I'll do that. And thank you for your help.
And they'll have a meeting somewhere near you that you can go along to, and it'll be weird, and you'll be sat in a circle with a load of people who you think, oh, my goodness, I don't want to be hanging out with these people.
I don't care what I have to do. Swing from the trees if it only will help the situation.
Then I really recommend you give Al-Anon a call and have a chat to someone there and explain your situation. I think they would be able to help you a lot.
Thank you very much. I will try that.
Pam, give us a call in a couple of weeks, or if you want to, and let me know how you got on with that.
I will do. Thank you very much.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Matt in Luton called in for some casual flirting. Oh, listen to this.
I never thought I'd be ringing you up this early in the new year.
Matt, you can't resist me.
You drive me mad, but...
You hate me, but you love me, don't you?
I hate you, but you do want me.
Yeah, say you love me.
No,
say, Matt, I want you to say, Ian, I love you.
All right, Ian, I like you.
Oh, that is progress, Matt. I'll have that. Thank you. That's a good start, yes. First
well,
base.
You wouldn't say that after you hear the lads over the Leicester Arms talking about you.
Oh, blimey. What are they saying about me in the Leicester Arms?
Well, they'd like to meet you. But,
What, for some side photographs? Go out for a nice latte?
No, I wouldn't say photographs, but...
Autographs?
What?
You want my autograph? I'm happy to pop down to the Leicester Arms and sign a few autographs.
Yes, yes, yes. And you might buy us all a drink, eh?
I think I'm busy then. Matt, I bet you've never done a day's housework in your life, have you?
I've done more housework than you'll ever dream of.
Really?
Yes. And I worked in a butcher's and I worked hard. And I would never, ever expect my wife to do something that I couldn't do myself. And I always helped her.
So what kind of housework did you do?
Anything you want. Ironing.
Yeah.
Even sewing buttons on my shirt.
You can do the sewing. I can't do the sewing.
Well, you've got a lot to learn, baby.
Mary?
Baby.
Oh, baby. Matt, listen, are we flirting this morning?
Hey?
Are we flirting this morning?
No, we're not flirting. I'm just telling you, everybody's equal. A woman, a God-given right, a woman should be treated properly, and a man should help as much as he can.
I like talking to Matt. He made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. I'd love to meet him and have him wrap his strong arms around me. Why did you write this?
Why did you just read it? It's Anchorman.
I watched that again this week.
Did you?
Still not funny.
Oh.
Have a listen to this. Peter, can you do me a favour?
Yeah.
I have been asked by my boss to collect spontaneous displays of affection from my listeners directed at me. Now, I don't know if you know Matt. Matt calls in. He's a grumpy old so-and-so. But earlier on, he spontaneously said this.
All right, Ian, I like you.
So, Peter, could you do me a favour? Could you say, this is Peter in Walmer Green, and I love Ian Lee?
Oh, I can't say that, Lee. I can't say that.
Could you...
I really think you've got to develop your charisma. I can't say that.
OK, how about... This is Peter and Walmer Green, and I really like Ian Lee.
I like Ian Lee's programmes from time to time.
OK.
How about that? That's not bad.
Cut off the time to time bit. And one final thing. Could you say, Ian Lee gets me up in the morning?
Oh, no, definitely not.
You couldn't say that for me?
No, definitely not.
Why not?
Because you don't.
Oh, what gets you up in the morning?
Oh, sometimes Five Live.
Right, now, Justin.
Yes.
Yesterday was an amazing show for many reasons. Yeah. Laughter, tears, wonderful things. But also, we got some real spontaneous displays of affection
that you wrung out of people
from the listeners. Yeah. Matt phones up. Matt is a very, very miserable old so-and-so. But yesterday, spontaneously...
All right, Ian, I like you.
Yeah, you go, you see.
Yeah.
That's basically a proposal from Matt.
Peter in Walmer Green. Oh, my goodness gracious me. He hates me. He's hated me until yesterday.
I like Ian Lee's programme.
And then some fella said this.
Don't you just love the Ian Lee show at first thing in the morning?
There we go. I don't know
who that
was.
Sounds sincere, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So, Justin, you very bravely and very kindly, and thank you for this, because I could not have asked, you volunteered to go out in the streets to just see what the man, stroke woman, on the street thought of the show. And I believe you've got a package, as we call it in radio, of spontaneous comps.
Absolutely. You wanted some sound bites for 2014, listeners saying how wonderful you are, massage your ego.
Yep.
Well, Ian, I did take this one to the streets. Are you prepared for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Here's what happened.
Like the garage music he plays, those tunes are so banging.
You sure you got the right show?
Yeah. Ian Lee.
What do you think about Ian Lee, madam?
I like this standing guy. What's his name? Justin Dealey.
Oh, that's me.
Is that you?
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Clive, you're a fan of Ian Lee. I found a fan. Say something nice about Ian Lee. Come on.
Sir, you're doing a good job. Just cover a broad range of subjects. You're to the point. You don't faff around. And that's what I like, straightforwardness.
End off.
Come on then, John. Ian Lee.
I preferred him when he was on Emmerdale.
It's a good point, actually. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Thank you very much.
OK, cheers.
Do you want to sign my petition to extend Wally Webb?
I've already signed it, haven't I? Morning, sir. How are you today? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
What's your name?
Mahandesh.
I see you've got your headphones in there. You must be listening to Ian Lee.
No, sorry. I'm just listening to some Bollywood songs.
Oh, right, OK. Tomorrow, would you maybe swap Bollywood for Ian Lee?
Yeah.
Ian Lee is very good.
He's the Doctor Who-loving Pratt, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, actually. He is. I'll pass that on. Thank you.
Okay.
You're telling me, madam, Ian Lee doesn't wake you up in the morning. Well, who does then?
God wakes me up. No, not Ian. God. G-O-D. Wakes me up every morning.
What radio station is he on?
Everywhere. That's the thing. It's reachable everywhere.
On all frequencies?
All the time. Everywhere, everywhere.
Would you maybe swap tomorrow morning? Would you maybe swap God for Ian Lee?
No, I wouldn't. Because even Ian Lee himself, he's not untouchable because God created him. So God gives him the strength to do what he does.
Yeah, but Ian Lee thinks he's God anyway.
No, he's not. Deep inside his heart, he knows he could be a weeping giant. He begs for God to give him strength and everything and courage and everything and the grace to keep on doing the things that he does.
I think weeping giant is a compliment, isn't it?
Yes, sir. You know, Ian, OK? You know. All right?
It wasn't quite what I was expecting.
A few comps in there for you. You know, people saying that you're good, people saying that they like you, people saying that you, you don't beat around the bush, you stick to the point. So Clive liked you.
That guy was right, though. He's not as good as Bollywood, is he?
No, he's not, no. But maybe today he won't be listening to Bollywood. He'll be listening to you right now doing your paper review.
There's a petition to get Wally Webb's show extended, is there?
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock, yeah.
How many signatures are on there?
The last count yesterday was 2,300, and that was in a day.
Did you tell some of those people what to say?
No. A bit like you yesterday, those people... totally spontaneous. What are you saying?
Well, thank you.
It's okay.
Are you crying?
I'm not a weeping giant.
You know. Let's just leave it there. Thanks, Ian. See you later. Bye.
We had a call about 15 minutes ago from Fiona. She said because of her disability, it involves her being in a wheelchair and it's neurological, she was alone over Christmas for 12 days. Her family and her friends, because of her disability, primarily, don't talk to her. She doesn't have any anymore. And I have personal experience of this with my poor mum. Most of her friends have naffed off. There are a couple really good friends that have stayed the course. Well done them. And it's an odd one, isn't it? An odd one. If it's happened to you, can you give me a call? Also, on the flip side, if you've kind of backed away from a friend because they have changed for whatever reason, or because of a condition, they have become different, why? I'm not going to have a go. You're not going to judge you. I'm just keen to find out why. Steve the Melky's called. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Steve. What's your take on this?
I'd like to know where you lot live, because I want to go there, because every time I take my missus out shopping, it takes me forever, because everybody and anybody just stops and talks to her.
Really? What's wrong with your missus?
She's got the dreaded MS.
Oh, man. Isn't it a horrible disease?
So, I don't know how she copes with it. She's gone from, in space of 6 years, from being able to walk around as normal to be, now she can't do anything, really. She's in a wheelchair most of the time. And when she walks around the house, she's got to hold on to something.
Yeah.
The only bonus is that if I follow her upstairs, I get to watch her bum for quite a while because she takes so long.
Well, I'm sure it's a wonderful bum. So when you go out in the shop, she's in a wheelchair, is she?
Yeah.
And what, people are coming up and talking to her?
All the people she knows, like everybody, because we live in Lechworth and she's lived there all her life. She knows so many people. So they all come up and talk to her. Just the ones that annoy her come up and say, "Oh, what have you done?" Oh, dear me. Then you have to go through the old spiel yet again.
And are they they're friends of her, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. And do you see them socially as much? Do they still come round the house and things like that?
Then a few of them do, but they're not that sort of close. They end up like school. People she knew from school and from different work and all that sort of stuff. But she still gets people come around. She's always blooming going out. I can't keep hold of the woman.
Well, maybe you should take the hint, Stephen. How did you propose to your missus?
I don't know.
What?
I can't remember. But what I can remember is that before we got married, because she got diagnosed not long before we got married, she turned to me and said, "Look, if you want to go now, you can go because of what's going to come." I thought, well, that wouldn't make me much of a man, really, would it?
She gave you the option to walk out before you got married because of her diagnosis?
Yeah. Because, you know, she knew what was coming. But it's silly because with MS, nobody knows what's coming.
Well, that's the thing. And if any, by the way, if anybody's being diagnosed with MS, don't be afeared by what Stephen and I are banging on about. Some people, they can live perfectly normal, wonderful lives with barely a hint of what's going on. So it is a very random thing. But I'm guessing, Stephen, you would have looked into MS, as I did when she was diagnosed. You would have known the possibilities of what could potentially happen. Now, be honest, at any point did you think, actually, this isn't for me, and maybe getting out is a good idea?
No, never.
Not once?
Not once. No. I love the woman, no matter what she's got. She might annoy me to hell sometimes, but I still love her.
Wendy's on the line. Morning, Wendy.
Hi. Having heard you said that, I'm not sure I fully fill the criteria. But
go on, no, don't worry. What have you got to say?
I'm looking at people's lifestyles and seeing how many lives they touch during their life.
Yeah.
A lot of your Watford people will know who I am because my son was in the Watford Observer. He was in Oxford University and he killed himself in December.
I'm sorry to hear that. Now, this December just gone.
None of his housemates realised how depressed he was. He was on medication, but he'd not told a soul. Then I look at myself, and when this happened, I had 9 meals arrive in my house in 2 days from local community friends. And my husband works in London, so most of his friends commute from all over the place. So he's only got really one local friend. So that's I've worked in local preschools, I've worked in local schools, I've worked with the Scouts, I have a local church, I've worked in local secondary schools. So I think I just know so many people.
Can I ask you a question, Wendy? And if it's too painful, you can ignore it.
No, that's fine.
What was your boy's name?
Andrew.
Andrew. How did you find out what had happened to Andrew?
When I went to pick him up and he wasn't there.
And what happened? Did you go to his room?
I went to his house. There was nobody there. And Andrew was actually already deceased by that point, but he was in a local park.
When did you find out exactly what had happened?
We managed to piece it together. It took us about a week to piece together what had happened. Obviously, the police were involved.
And as a mum, I've got two boys. I mean, my boys are kids at the moment. But as a mum, how does that make you feel?
Like I never want to let my other two boys out of my sight again.
Hmm.
But also, how can his friends not have noticed?
So would you say and if I'm using the wrong words, and tell me, would you say that you're angry with his friends?
No. I think more the college. But not with his friends, no. I think that they were young. They're 19, 20 years old. They hadn't noticed he was spending a lot of time in his room and not coming downstairs to the living room. He just got a coffee, went up to his room all night. I think the warning out there is to people, we're not talking about the people who are isolated. I'm talking to their friends. If you haven't seen somebody for a couple of days, give them a ring. Hop in. Ask them if they're all right and try and read their faces.
How old are your other kids, Wendy?
17 and 15.
I can't even begin to imagine what they're going through.
Well, it's not an easy thing for a family to deal with, but the biggest tragedy with this is that people did not notice. And he didn't tell them. So your friends might say, oh, I'm fine, but if you know them well enough, I would hope that you'd know they weren't.
Wendy, I'm really sorry for your loss, and I appreciate your call, and I wish you the best of luck for the future.
Well, can I challenge all of your listeners? If there's somebody they know well they haven't seen for a week, give them a ring today.
That's it. That's your lot. Thanks for listening and downloading.
Moo!
Ow.
Hey, do you want a quick game of the morning game?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, can I play this one?
Okay.
I'm going to win.
Whoever can say the morning for the longest.
Which?
Do we hover over or ing?
It's ing, ing.
Okay.
It's the vowel on it.
I know you're going at once.
So it's 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Morning.
Check out my diaphragm.
I think that was a draw.
No, you threw something
Shut
at me.
Shut up, Catherine.
And then you stopped.
Wow.
Kelly.
Yeah.
That was a draw.
I'm really impressed by that.
It's a draw, though, wasn't it?
It's only because that you're so old, your diaphragm's quite stretched now, and you shout a lot at kids in the street. That's why you were better than me.
That was a draw to be tried, continued again in next week's podcast.
Do you think you're man enough? Because I don't.
And I want to work with you, Kelly Betts. That is bang out of order.
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks, on FM, AM, digital radio and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.